Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The university led us to this situation, unfortunately, through bringing the police here. That was the last thing that the students wanted, that the faculty wanted, that was very evident today, and the faculty woke up in support of those students who were unjustly suspended and who were also arrested by NYPD. Now the climate on campus has changed. A lot of students before, they were scared of the university intimidation tactics, because the university has used and has unleashed a lot of scary tactics. If you notice the first day when the students were at the other lawn of this university before the police came and arrested them, today, as we can see, there's much more than that. It's time for us to show that, yes, we want to be visible. The university should do something about what we're asking, about the genocide that's happening in Gaza. They should stop investing in this genocide that our people is now suffering from.
Right. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Wayne Dupree, and it is a Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. We're only a few months away from the general election, the 2024 general election this year. It is a presidential election, so please mark that down on your calendars. Let me introduce the godfather of conservative radio, Mr. Hutch Bailey Jr.
Hello, Wayne and Jason and everybody. Today is primary day in Pennsylvania. I'll be going to do my Democrat Party duty to get Summer Lee out. I'm a Democrat now. I won't be for long, but I am right now.
I am today.
Card carrying.
And let me introduce the imam of Minnesota, Mr. Jason Robinson.
Hutch, Wayne, audience, happy Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday is perfect day to share the show. Help us beat the big tech algorithm.
Assalamu alaikum.
Si, senor.
Cinco. Listen.
Bread and juice.
sure. I'm glad you brought up that about the voting. If you have some information about what's going on out there in Pennsylvania.
I don't know. It's hard to read it. You know, I keep seeing these polls, but Pennsylvania is the most corrupt state in the country.
Right.
They've got employees that steal elections.
Yeah.
I was going to say Minnesota might like a word with you.
Yeah, that's true too.
And I'm watching that thing.
I'm watching that freaking Palestinian dude. Why don't he go back to his own country?
Right.
You know that this immigration is going to kick us in the man.
Not only that, why is it that all the anti-American factions in this country is more funded than the people that live in this country,
right?
That need help to do stuff. You know, I saw
something that kind of shocked me a little bit. It shouldn't have. It really shouldn't have, but it did. Exactly. Ben Berquam says Columbia professors,
right,
come out in force to support anti-Israel protesters, refuse to condemn Hamas killers. The freaking professors, the National Guard ought to shut that damn country company down, that college, whatever. I mean, it's National Guard time.
I was going to say, that was my final thought yesterday. I was going to watch these protests, and there's a bunch of independent journalists that are on the ground at like 7 or 8 different campuses. And folks, this is getting whitewashed in the news. These people aren't like, stop bombing Palestine. These people are like, chanting death to America, chanting Israel needs to go. They're handing out flyers talking about very hateful things we can't say on some of these platforms. These are violent. Like Hutch said, in Columbia University, the professors joined the party. I'm like, you've got, like, every one of those people should be fired that day.
Absolutely. And they blocked Jewish professors from coming in.
Right. Yeah, they were blocking Jewish professors from getting in. And these people are citing anti-American slogans, and they are wishing the most vile things on the Jewish population over there. And it's like, wow, it's one thing if you're like, stop killing Palestinian civilians. You know, that's one argument you can make. But boy, death to America when you're on America, like what country allows people to cheer?
And they're not even American. You saw the guy,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Ilhan Omar's daughter, a Somalian. You ought to be deported.
Well, she was kicked out from her school.
Yeah. She's whining because she's kicked out of her school and I don't have access to food or it's
she
like
no food. Yeah.
Whatever. Go back to Somalia.
Right.
She ain't got no place to stay and she ain't got no food. I'm like,
go chew on some of them leaves and get high over in Somalia like they used to do in Mogadishu.
Right.
I was watching this.
Don't let people in the country that hate the country.
I was watching this yesterday.
Hates America and she breeds a creature with whomever, and that creature hates America as much or more than she does.
We were talking yesterday about Occupy Wall Street, or we kind of brought it up. Okay, based on the video that I'm getting ready to show, I'm seeing Occupy Wall Street
vibes,
remnants, but ties. Okay, I'm seeing that. Somebody asked, where did they get all the tents? Well, it's fully funded, man. I mean, this thing is fully funded, and we knew something was going to happen before the election. We, you know, usually it's a race thing, but this thing is a little bit bigger, and it looks like our enemies are not afraid now because of the failed leadership that is in Washington, D.C. all over. They are not afraid to put their foot, their fingerprint, or their whole handprint down.
That's crazy.
On destroying America. And if anybody has been telling you about the colleges, it's been Hutch and J-Rob. Let me play this.
A Gaza solidarity encampment early Wednesday morning with dozens of tents occupying the south lawn of the campus outside the main library. As we broadcast, students have been threatened with suspension and discipline action, but are still refusing to leave until their demands are met. They spoke about what they're calling for.
Same, same.
My name is Mariam Alwan, and I'm with Columbia SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine, and we are here today to demand that Columbia divest immediately from all states in Israeli apartheid. Over 33,000 Palestinians have been killed, and as we speak, our president is testifying in front of the House in a game of political theater that is conflating anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. We want to focus the attention on what's going on in Gaza tell Colombia that we are not going anywhere, no matter how much government suppression we face.
Okay.
Keep fighting until they divest.
Sound like Occupy.
They have been completely repressive. I mean, we faced police brutality. We have faced countless policy changes. I mean, my group, along with Jewish Voice for Peace, was suspended in the fall semester completely illegitimately. I filed a lawsuit to counter that action. And it seems like the repression is only getting worse and worse and worse. But the more they repress us, the more we rise up, and that's why we've escalated. That's also why we've escalated here today. Not only are they not listening to us when we peacefully protest, when we attempt to just pass referendums for student voices to even be heard, they don't even want to listen to the students. They don't want to know what the students think.
Get your hijab.
They believe me, they hear what y'all are saying, but what y'all are saying is something that America shouldn't be standing for, especially on American campuses. So that's why some of these presidents are trying to stop this stuff from happening, but it's not going as fast as it is spreading.
Okay. I just thought of something real quick. When did all this madness start? It started with Barack Obama.
Yep.
When you're a little kid during the Barack Obama administration and you're listening to all these leftists, that's what you turn into. Right there. This is a direct descendant from the Obama administration. All that hatred, all that Muslim outreach and everything else. The kids were they didn't have anything in their mind yet. But they've had all those years from Obama till now to get it percolated. And now you have that. That's I'm sorry, but it's unacceptable. But she memorized a couple big words and came out anti-Semitism, anti-Zionist, da, 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 da. Come on, lady. You don't know what you're talking about.
Occupy Wall Street started September 17, 2011 under the Bush administration during the presidential election.
But it was fueled after he lost. Remember, Obama used to go down there and Nancy Pelosi used to go down
there. The Democrat. Well, I mean, if you have some record of Obama going down there, show me. But I mean, I know the Democrats went down there. And when I saw this happening with the college things happening yesterday, I was like, Democrats are probably going to try to infiltrate what's happening just like they did with Occupy Wall Street with this. But I don't think that this is going to last until the election. I think that come to a head during the conventions. And I really think that there's going to be massive. I mean, you know, we saw videos of hundreds of thousands, it looked like, in Washington, D.C. We're going to see massive protests protesting our government, things that our government does. Okay. I don't think they're going to D.C. But it's easy to, well, I'm not telling them what to do, but Chicago, bedrock, Minnesota, Wisconsin, bedrock. And the reason why I say Wisconsin is because it's up north and there's a whole lot of people coming across the border up north. Jay, how bad is Wisconsin close to what Minnesota is?
You know, there's buckets of it, like kind of on the part up by Michigan where you get some Islamic stuff. I mean, Minnesota, we tend to get the Smalleys. Wisconsin's, they actually have a lot more of just the crazy traditional liberals, like the crazy white cat ladies. You see more of that than some of the pro-Islam stuff. But it's starting to spread because it's on western side of Michigan. I mean, that western side of Michigan, you might as well be in an Islamic country in some of those counties. It's crazy over there.
I mean, some of them even have Islamic city councils.
Right.
Hamtramck.
And if you've been watching the show for a few years, we've been telling people, go to your city council, get a group of y'all, get elected, and start changing stuff. Because what's happening is, and I don't even think that it was social media at the time, but while the GOP was counting their donations and stuff and buying plants for for their offices in Washington, D.C., George Soros and his buddies were getting city council, getting Muslims on city councils. They were getting more liberal type voices in city councils. And one day you go outside, you look, you're like, how did that happen? How did that happen down the street? When did that get put up? When did that church turn to a
mosque?
A mosque. Wait a minute. There's another church that just turned to a mosque. Where they're bringing that dome in around? Hey, Johnny. Yeah. I'm talking. Man, that was a foot. What the hell is that? What? There's a dome going down the street. That's what was happening, and you know, a lot of Americans are like, it's happening.
We got complacent. You know, you got these people, that's, especially the ones that come over and they're the first generation from Pakistan or from wherever. They had a hard life, man. They're coming here. They're working. They're not Americans get a political office for the pay. These guys are getting it to change the world.
To change the world. Yeah.
Well, it's funny when you think about those college students. And we met with a group from our church that we went through a class with. Last night we had dinner and we said, you know, part of the gap with these young people, A, their life's way too easy. They're living on college. Their college classes aren't difficult because they've dumbed them down so much. They don't have to work to pay for college. They just take it out on a loan. Even their food's paid for. So they've got super easy life and they're completely detached from their faith. So they look for something to fill that emotional need that you have. And in these students' cases, they've filled that God space, God size shape with Free Palestine. And like I say, there are legitimately atrocities being committed over there because
the last 50 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because those two nations have been at war, and anybody who want, like, both sides have done plenty of awful things. And that's why I've been a proponent of, we just need to stay out of it. Like, either get in or get out.
Because, we can't stay out of it now.
Right.
If we do. Now, I apologize for saying Obama went to Occupy Wall Street. But speaking at a press conference back in November 2016, he said he heard about it. And the Occupy Wall Street protests are a reflection of a broad-based frustration about how our financial system works. So and he was supporting it. He might not have been there, but
I remember that talking point because Pelosi said the same thing. A lot of the Democrat leaders were saying the same talking, which the Democrats do at that time. They get those pieces of paper and they're on point when it comes to messaging. They are on point. Our side has never been on point with messaging. That's why the message gets messed up. It gets screwed up, lost in translation. But with them, I don't know whether it's the money. I don't know whether it's because
it's a uniparty. It's because it's a uniparty.
Yeah, but
the Republicans are doing their job when they fumble like that.
Yeah, but I mean,
I know it sucks, but I mean, it's starting to be pretty clear.
But they're always on point, even if they disagree. They might disagree for about 5 seconds. But when it comes down, when it's time to party, everybody is dressed up and they are rocking to the party. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I keep thinking? I keep thinking about all we have charge of the House of Representatives. We had it by 12 seats.
Yes.
How is the border still open? How is that being funded? I mean, it's right in front of us. It's right there. They're doing it despite us. They just voted for 90, however many billion dollars for a freaking former communist country. You know, Ukraine was the seat of Russia's Navy.
Well, and what's interesting too is Ukraine, prior to the war, everybody understood it was the most corrupt nation in Europe. It was the money laundering capital of.
They made a movie about it.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't even like a dispute. And now we just, and you know, how many more administrative officials do you need to see driving around in a $600,000 car with a $30 million mansion?
With gold bars.
Right, yeah. I wonder where all the money's going, you know.
$2,000, $3,000 an ounce. Right. This guy got a big old bar.
Yeah, Again, that.
Well, when he has to flee the country, it's easier to put in a suitcase that way. Because I got to say, at some point, that comes to an end, and there's going to be a lot of people in that government that are going to be skedaddling out of Ukraine,
and maybe here too.
Right.
I got a little word of advice for you college students in New York and the rest of you people that don't know a damn thing about life. Keep your face out of the camera because we're not forgetting this.
No, yeah.
We're not forgetting this at all. This is Nazi stuff. We have to kill this. Or it'll kill us.
I just want us to get to the point where when people are chanting death to America, we just kick them out of America.
Right.
Yeah. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I posted something a while back. I posted a meme. I was like, did you ever think that you would get to a place where you saw death to America in America's cities?
Or rich's bits.
And there's no repercussions to that. None. I mean, you know, they go, what are you doing on Saturday? Oh, as they're drawing up the sign, we got a protest going on. I mean, death to America.
From the river to the sea in New York City.
Right. Yeah, you I mean, this weekend, I saw a protest where they were burning an American flag and burning a Bible. And we let that happen. But what's ironic in New York City, if you would have burned the LGBTQ flag, it would have been a hate crime.
You get locked up. Yeah, you get locked up.
You would have got locked up.
Yeah. LMNOP flag.
Yep.
I got another report here.
This morning, we're getting a look at new video from California. Pro-Palestinian protesters barricading themselves inside a college campus overnight. The school forced to close today for student safety.
We're seeing demonstrations like this happen across the country on college campuses. Cleo Green is in our studio this morning with more because tensions have been escalating. Cleo?
Yeah, Mark D, with that video you just showed us, as of 8:30 last night, the organization Humboldt for Palestine says that students have been arrested, though it's not confirmed from university police, so we're still waiting for more information there. But from coast to coast, there have been multiple protests that we've seen in response to Israel's attack on Gaza. This has been happening for weeks now, and it's growing. This is the latest video from overnight from New York University. You can actually see police in riot gear here, dismantling the encampment, arresting multiple people, students accused of ignoring a deadline to disperse. At Columbia University, protests are entering a sixth day. More than 100 people have been arrested there. Students say there has been a rise in both anti-Semitic and Islamophobic incidents.
There were people outside of campus one time with signs that said death to all Jews. That is awful, and nobody should be having to experience that.
So overnight, Columbia, they just announced classes for the rest of the semester will be held virtually due to security concerns. Now, we haven't seen any campus protests like that here at home, here in Texas. But Governor Greg Abbott shared his thoughts on X, saying Ivy League universities are showing that their time has passed. They're a little more than monuments of our past. Now they are accomplices of the chaos they helped to sow. So a little cryptic there for your own understanding. We're going to talk about the White House announcement coming up at about 6:30. Dia, I'll send it back to you.
She sat there and said that it was horrible that they said death to Jews with a freaking Palestinian kafiva around her neck.
You know, I was thinking what everything that we were talking about is happening, but I was like, these college kids are seeing something, and whether they want to believe it or not, just like Occupy Wall Street, hey, you can hang out in a tent, play a guitar, have rape sessions, and you know, different things like that. But not, I don't believe all of them are out there. Well, I mean, they could be, but in looking at that line, the camera going down that line, I was like, God darn. That doesn't even look like America, except for the building behind it.
Right.
That doesn't look like America at all.
We should start calling these Democrat protests.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. That's who's funding it.
I call it pro-Hamas. I have never called it pro-Palestine, even though you might see it on the tweet. I'm only, now that's only what the media is calling it. I call it a pro Hamas because that's who they are quietly supporting. They're supporting Hamas because Hamas controls Palestine. If you want to call it Palestine, you know, I mean, and that report was, that report happened last night. That was this morning report that they had locked herself in the school. I was like, God darn, man.
You see how they brainwashed her? You see what she said? She said, the Israel attack on Gaza. That's not what happened.
Right.
Hamas attacked Israel. Israel didn't attack Gaza. Israel reacted to Gaza's freaking animalism. Mm-hmm.
And these folks don't understand that the Palestinians elected Hamas. Hamas attacked Israel. And at that point, if you are going to be a nation that attacks another nation or whatever you want to call what Palestine is or the Gaza Strip is, like, buckle up, buttercup. If somebody did that in America, I mean, look what happened after 9/11. We went and flattened the country and now we can make arguments about 9/11, but I mean, Israel, that's why, like, we have enough stuff in America to worry about. These are going to turn into Summer of Love 2.0.
Yeah, well,
that's exactly right.
Right, but I think
it's political.
It's almost like what happened before Barack Obama got elected.
Oh, yeah.
Because it happened the Occupy Wall Street itself happened a couple of months before the election.
See, I look at it different. I think it's exactly what happened in 1968. I think it's going to help our side. Like, Richard Nixon got more votes than anybody in history.
Back then, the thought pattern was different.
It was a different boogeyman, but they were still out there in the streets protesting and the cops ended up breaking their heads and the Democrats got crushed.
Right. But then between that Nixon time and Obama's time, things changed.
Oh yeah.
And that's why Obama ascended to power, because now not only do you have the Occupy Wall Street was starting to end by the time he got into office, but then you had that transformational type of person to look toward on their side, and that's why he ran away with it like he did, because they were like, yeah, now things are going to change because we did this and we did that and stuff. These people don't want Joe Biden. I tell you that right now. They don't want Joe Biden. They might want somebody else, but they don't want Joe. And like y'all were talking about, you know, maybe I might start be coming around. Maybe they don't want an election. Maybe, and I'm just throwing it out there, maybe you're going to see protests at ballot stations and polling stations and stuff. You know, you might see it. And this doesn't have nothing to do with Donald Trump. This has everything to do with the American institution of government and who the American government supports Israel. They want to stop that at all costs. And right now, again, if y'all listen to Hutch and J-Rob, they've been talking about this for the last year and a half, going on 2 years now. They've been talking about how the American institution, the American education system, our colleges have been infiltrated. And when stuff like this happens, it's like putting kerosene on a brush fire, boy. It's like, whoo, 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 whoo. You can't put the fire out quick enough.
I think we're a little slow to react, but I'm starting to see some signs. Like, the New England Patriots owner said Columbia gets no more money from me.
That's right.
You know, things are starting to wake up, I think. I hope. I still have hope for our humanity.
Yeah, but then the government write a check.
Yeah, maybe.
I was looking at I was posting memes to my account last night, and I was like, okay, all right. You want to print money in DC? You want to give Ukraine $60, $61, $62, $65 billion, whatnot? why don't you stop taking taxes from American people and start spending? Now, I know, honestly, I'm just being facetious. But if y'all want to print money that you don't have and give it to another country, stop taking money from Americans and start printing money to, in place of the taxes.
What you bring up actually an excellent thought experiment or logic test. If we can spend, you know, 30% more money than we collect, and they and the Democrats make the argument that we can continue to ramp up how much we spend with no concerns for anything, then why, and we can print all the money we want, why are we paying taxes?
Exactly.
We really, you know, if you're telling us, you know, either there's a number that you can't overspend by, or you should live by a budget, or you don't have to. And if you don't have to live on a budget, then yeah, you don't need my money.
I'll tell you the downside of that. Alex Jones wrote a piece the other day. This is the final act of Cloward and Piven.
All right.
If you look at it, it is designed to collapse itself, and it's about ready to do it.
Yeah.
Even the IMF warned the Biden administration about our spending. The IMF, International Monetary Fund.
Yep.
I put another meme out there last night, too. I don't know if y'all saw it, but I was like, you know how they're so over the top with TSA and airport security?
Right.
But they don't care nothing about border security.
None. What about the vaccinations? Nobody's vaccinated coming from down there.
Coming from over, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like a see you in 7 years. You know? Again, we're talking today about the spreading of the new...
the Nazis.
I don't even know what you call it. You know,
I don't either. Because seriously, they're not Americans.
They hate America.
Whoa. They might be Americans, but the majority of them are infiltrated type cells, I guess.
I'll tell you, one of these days, we have to stop pretending and stop acting like a piece of paper makes you an American, because it doesn't. That's what we got. We're going to have the Balkans here real soon. We're going to be at each other's throats in our own country. And China's looking at us like, yeah. Yeah, keep it up.
Yeah.
Divide yourselves. We're coming.
Well, you see it all over Europe right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Europe's a few years ahead of us. We're with the illegal immigrant part of it, we're doing a better job ourselves tearing ourselves apart politically, which is so sad because the everyday Americans, whether you're Republican or Democrat, probably agree on 80% of stuff, you know, and they just drive that wedge. And
when I was growing up, man, I mean, my friends' family, some of them were Republican. We all got along. It was never, I mean, our parents got along. They went to parties together.
We lived on the corner which is crazy. Most of my life, our house has always been on the corner.
Nice.
Always. It never fails. I don't know why, but and
we've been always probably did it on purpose.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And even right now, my house is on the corner, and the house I had before this was on the corner. But and we've also been blessed with the sun going down in the front of the house. You know, it rises up behind us and it goes down in front. Beautiful. But with saying all that, when you look at everything that is happening with these colleges and stuff, you're like, you know, I mean, this is something that we never saw, never even close to seeing when we were growing up.
Except for the Vietnam War protests.
That wasn't Vietnam people over here holding flags and stuff like that. Right? Okay. I mean,
I got you.
This pro Hamas thing, they've been getting people in this country for the last 30, 40 years. You know, some of them working at the factory, some of them working beside you, and quiet too, quiet. You, the Russian Yuri thing, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, that you bring them in here as a little kid, just like you were saying earlier, you bring them in here as a little kid, and next thing you know, they're 18, 19 years old, no, they're 20, 21 years old, they're going to college. Hey, we're going to study a focus group. Join. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, you know, we're joining. Then the next thing you know, it's 10. Then it's 15.
When it comes to Islam, there's two Islams. There's Mecca and Medina. Mecca Islam was when Muhammad wasn't in power. He didn't have enough soldiers to fight. So they did what you said, Wayne. They were calm and collected, and they acted like everybody else, like they're doing here. Once they get to 7 or 8% of the population, then they move to Mecca. And that's when they start cutting heads off. That's what it is like in London right now, in France, and Sweden. In Sweden, the weapon of choice for the Islamic immigrants, or whatever you want to call them, is the hand grenade.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But you know what, dude? Y'all bringing up overseas and stuff, how they are ahead of where we are. You would think a fully functioning nation with an awesome government would see that and say, okay, we're going to stop it before it comes over here so that it doesn't cross our shores. No. We send a first class Learjet to bring Ebola in the country. You remember that?
I do.
To Georgia, as a matter of fact.
Fauci had a little bit to do with that too, putting vaccines over in Africa.
I bet he did.
Experimenting on these people.
What do you mean, Learjet? Yeah, they went over there, they got Ebola, and they brought in the country under Barack Obama. Ebola. That was killing people in other countries.
Killing them nastily. Bad, bad death.
Ebola is a really bad virus.
Yeah. They flew it.
And we are experimenting on it in multiple labs around the world.
Again, we aren't sending our best.
A big one right in Maryland, by the way.
Yeah.
We aren't sending our best. I mean, I think we're the only country that sent a nuclear missile at the moon. So, I mean, what does that tell you?
Did we do that?
It was a nuclear missile at the moon.
But it misfire or what?
And nothing happened to it. I mean, it went to the moon, but nothing happened to it. Let me see. Make sure, because I remember.
I'm going to say I got to grab a tinfoil hat for this one.
Okay. Let's see. Project A. Project A. I was going to say A. Was it A19? Well, actually. Project A-119 was a top secret proposal to detonate a hydrogen bomb on the moon. But
who thinks of that, man?
Yeah. But no, there was a, let's see, the U.S. military almost blew the moon up with a nuke. See, that's what I'm talking about. But that, now that was in the 50s, but there was something else that happened under Barack Obama too. They did the same thing, but yeah, there you go.
You know, I was going to say there's been that online debate going about the bombing of Japan after World War II. Speaking of nukes, I was going to ask you guys what your perspective is on that.
I think they did it for sure.
No, should they have? Was the debate?
Yeah.
What?
Dropped a bomb on Japan. Japan, the thing about Japanese, and it's not just Japanese, it's a lot of Oriental countries. But I know you're probably not allowed to say that word anymore, but I was educated in the 60s. The thing about them, they fight to the last man. They don't surrender. I mean, they're women, when we were on Okinawa, their women were grabbing their babies and jumping off cliffs to their death because they had so much mentality that we were going to come in there and just brutalize everything. And what a lot of people don't know is that we probably saved lives by using those atomic bombs because we were firebombing the smoke out of Japan in those months leading up to it. And Japan in the 1940s, every house was built of wood. You know, so we were just eliminating whole cities with firebombs. And then they two more bombs and it was over. Because I always get, you know, when people say, oh, that didn't happen. You know, how could that have happened? Why'd they surrender then?
Yeah, no, the bombs definitely happened. And actually, where the conversation started is, I think Tucker was on Joe Rogan, and he was talking about us dropping nukes. And then people took that clip, and then, like, the Daily Wire, you know, grabbed it, and some of their people were talking about it. But there's been a lot of interesting debates online about it. So I was curious to your guys' perspective.
I think you have to take it in context of what was going on at the time. All the way from the late 20s, early 30s, Japan brutalized the whole world. I mean, Asia first. China caught the most hell. If you ever want to look into something, look into the rape of Nanking and look at what the Japanese people did to the Chinese. I mean, they took their babies and threw them up in the air and caught them with a bayonet. You know, I mean, it's just brutal savagery. And I think people that make the case that we shouldn't have done that might not know the entire context of what the Japanese army was doing to people, including our people.
To answer your question, I've seen a couple of documentaries. I've seen a couple of movies on them building the bomb and stuff, and then them realizing they didn't even know what would happen during the test. No, during the test.
Right.
They thought that they were shaking hands and stuff and hoping to see each other on the other side of the test because they weren't sure. They thought that they might do something to the atmosphere. So it's like, okay. But I think once they realize what they had, like we see on here, like we see on the show, sometimes you can't unsee what you've seen, even though you want to unsee it. And I think they realize maybe we just messed up, but the military side of it was like, we need this. We need this right now. Even though things might be ramping down, we need to show that we're on top. Now, the first one, I think they would have surrendered after the first one. You know, but, you know, you get that Trump beat down and, you know, you got to send that second one, you know,
The other thing is that the next step was we had to invade Japan.
Yeah. Wait, which one was on our side? China was on our side.
China. Yeah. China.
Okay. All right. Yeah. There's a crazy story about that one too. Cause
Japan China also occupied Korea.
Yeah.
All during that time from like for 40 some years, they outlawed the Korean language, Hangul. You had to speak Japanese, huh? Spanish.
Look at you.
That'd be today.
Yeah.
Spanish or Somali. I only know that because I served there.
The missile or the, what you call it, that NASA sent toward the moon was in 2009, which was under Barack Obama. But yeah, they wanted to find out if there was water up there.
For what? You're gonna bottle it and bring it back? We don't have enough.
I remember this guy, and I can't find the video. I'm serious, but again, it was like he was like in a hutch-like type cabin, and he was smoking a cigarette at night with that one light on behind his head. And it looked like he was standing between the wall and the bunk beds. He was like, I'm going to set a nuclear missile at the effing moon. Don't they know the moon regulates the oceans and
tides? And
let's light it just to see what it looks like.
He was like, well, you can cancel Christmas. You know, he's like, but I mean, he was so cool with it. And everybody just waited on pins and needles. What's going to happen? Is the moon going to blow up? You know, and it didn't. But that's the craziness of our government. That's the craziness of the people up there. You know, they're it was fire missile at the moon.
I saw a guy.
Make it nuclear.
I saw a guy try to. You talk about the government being crazy. This guy was explaining how we could fix Congress. And he had like 5 points. But one of them was make the congressman make his salary different. Whatever the median income is in your state, that's your salary. And I was like, whoa, now that makes a little bit of sense.
Hmm. Yeah, but that's presupposing that their main source of income is their congressional salary. That's which true. I would argue
That's true.
That for them, their congressional salary is certainly their C or D income, other than just a few of them. I mean, these guys bring so much in from campaign and speeches, books, and whatever else.
They probably get a binder on their second day of speaking engagements and different things and how much each one is and stuff. And they're set as long as they don't bounce it. Well, actually they can bounce checks, whatever. But I mean, as long as they, you know, they every weekend they're speaking at something and bringing in $10,000, $15,000, you know, and that's on top of their salary that they get for less than half a year worth of Congress time. That's what gets me. They make six figures and they don't even work half a year. They work part time.
They should convert it all to Zoom. It should all be Zoom. It should all be Zoom.
Why not?
Would you make a guy, you think you're going to make a guy from California go back and forth to Washington, D.C. every weekend? He's not going to be corrupt.
Right.
How's he going to afford it?
Right.
Right. Speaking of Zoom, we had left the Columbia University talk, but they're going remote learning for the rest of the year, too.
Yeah.
That's good for them. I don't want them to learn anything else.
How would you like to be paying like 90 or 100 grand a year for your education?
That's how much Ilhan Omar's tuition was.
Right.
$90,000 a year.
Yep.
That's half her mom's salary.
Yeah. Now you're doing it on a Zoom call. That's
I wonder. I wonder if that's Omar's brother's daughter.
And in Israel, Passover is being celebrated while families mourn hostages still in custody. Also today, the head of the Israeli Military Intelligence Corps is resigning over what he calls the failures surrounding the October 7th attack. Alexis McAdams has more.
Anti-Israel protests continue on Ivy League campuses across the country. The president of Columbia University shifting to all virtual classes, releasing a statement writing in part, "The decibel of our disagreements has only increased in recent days. We need a reset." Jewish students on campus say they just don't feel safe. A rabbi at the Ivy League school telling students to head home.
People have been saying for a while now that they don't feel safe, and a lot of that had to do with the rhetoric. But I want to be clear right now, this has now gotten into physical safety. I no longer feel physically safe.
The fact that this is spreading is not surprising to me.
At Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut, police removing protesters from encampments on campus, leading to arrests. These protests come as Jewish students prepare to celebrate Passover, a major Jewish holiday focused on freedom. And in Israel, some Israelis finding it hard to celebrate. One of the communities hardest hit by Hamas attacks on October 7th, setting a communal table in Tel Aviv. That table has empty seats representing those who have been killed, taken hostage, or are still fighting.
We're a broken community, but with the hope to continue.
Now, more than 6 months after those attacks, the focus remains on getting the hostages home.
We are holding on to the hope that our hostages will return.
So here at Columbia University, the school says they'll add safety and security measures to help keep students safe. Reporting in New York City, I'm Alexis McAdams, Fox 32 Chicago.
I need to move.
New York City, but she's from Fox News Chicago. That was weird.
We need to move. We need to move from the East Coast because the East Coast is getting ready to get blown to hell. That's a lot. That's a lot of Palestinians again. That's a lot.
Just look at the border.
Yeah, I'm thinking, do we go to Puerto Rico or like where do we build the compound, guys?
Switzerland. Let's go to Switzerland.
There's nowhere else to go, man. We got to fight.
No. It has to be.
I ain't giving this place up yet.
You want to talk to Elon? See if we can get on Mars?
Right. We'll be on the inaugural.
No, we'll be up there and I'll hit it with a nuke trying to see if there's water on it.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Jesus, Lord.
It's frustrating.
But it's scary, too, because you don't know. Well, actually, you don't know because at a flip of a switch. See, today is Jewish. Right? Today is Jewish. Flip that switch. It's America next.
No, it'll be specifically white people.
Well, it'll be Americans. Because, you know, because there are people out there that would come together, and those are the ones that you really want to take out. And I understand you saying on white people too, but there are a lot of other people here in this country that would fight alongside white people that did in the Civil War.
I hope.
So
I'm counting on it.
Well, yeah, they did in the Civil War.
Here's the thing, though. They'll like, let's say black people. There are black people like Wayne Dupree or Ben Carson or you know, Clarence Thomas that would fight along with.
You're on your own.
But what I'm saying is, but you even see how they handle Clarence Thomas. When was the last time anybody was called out for racism attacking Clarence Thomas? They didn't even view him as a black man. I mean, it's when they talk about like the first black person on the Supreme Court, like his name doesn't even come up or his race doesn't come up. They don't count conservative black people as black people, you know, in the mainstream media or the leftist blob.
I tell you why. It's because there have been some, like for me, I can go into a barbershop. I can say that I voted for Donald Trump, and I can sit there and I can talk to anybody. I'm not going in there just giving talking points. I'm going in there and talking to regular people just like I'm a regular person. There are black conservatives right now, and I know that's probably going to get hate mail. There are black conservatives right now that don't have any connection with the black community.
Right.
They don't. And probably the same. I mean, you know, you can say this, Randy, but since we're talking about black, that there are black conservatives that don't touch the black community, don't know how to talk to them, and fear the black community. And it's like, wait a minute, if you don't know how to talk to me, yeah, I'm gonna make fun of you or I'm gonna distance myself from you because there's no connection. Like, almost like Barack Obama. Now, a lot of black people voted for Barack Obama in 2008, but going into the next one, and especially if you look at him right now, a lot of black people look at him like he didn't do nothing for the black community anyway, because he's not connected to the black. Well, I mean, he married Michelle, but he's not connected to the black community.
She's not either.
Big Mike.
His wife. I mean, his white lineage held slaves. And if you want to discard Franklin Marshall Davis Jr., his dad was from Africa. So, I mean, he doesn't have any blackness associated with him. So, you know, but to answer what, or to give my opinion about what you were saying is there are some like Sonny Johnson. Sonny Johnson can go into the hood and talk to Democrats because she hasn't lost that way to communicate. I can, like I said, I can go to a barbershop. There are many of us that can talk to people in the hood, but then there's a lot that can't. And those are the ones that would get on social media like, like Rob Smith. I just got called out for being a black homosexual by the Republicans this time. It's like, man, come on, man. Come, you know.
He's so funny.
I know he is. He's, but that, I mean, believe me when I say that, because after watching this for a while, it's like, and then there's a split between black conservatives. Like when you look at some people get up there and they trash black Americans, but then you look at some of these black conservatives that have connection with black America, you'd be like, I can't believe you just said that. I'm trying to build up connections with these people, and then all of a sudden you're going to come out and talk crap about them. Now you're hurting my outreach and talking, you know, to these people. So help me out. But then again, the same thing happens to white people with the poor. I mean, I really feel bad for poor white people, because poor white people are left out there on an island, and it's a shame. I'm serious. It's a shame. It's a shame. You look like was it stepchildren?
Redheaded stepchild.
Man.
Boxcar children.
If you drive in the country, and I think we all live close to a country type of place. We drive down the road, we pass all the trees and stuff, and we see those broke down houses in between the trees. And everything's not hunky dory. And then you're going to pass a trailer park, a large trailer park. Okay. Nobody goes in there and does outreach to these people. They stay away from there. And, you know, it's like, these are Americans too.
I saw a documentary about a guy from West Virginia that got a full scholarship, a full ride to college for football. He got there. He had to come home in a couple months because he couldn't afford food.
Wow.
And then they showed him out there on the side of a highway under a bridge with a 5-gallon bucket and a pick, getting coal out of the side of the mountain so he could burn it at home for heat that night.
That's real. That's what Hutch talks about West Virginia. We had connections with West Virginia there for a while. What they do with poor white people.
Pour the drugs in there.
Pour the drugs in there or send them to war. West Virginia is the only state. It has lost more Americans per capita than any other state in the country.
Scotch-Irish.
A war. For American war. And then when you don't send them to war, like Hutch just said, you load them with drugs and welfare. They are the test bed. West Virginia is a test bed for welfare. You know?
They're guinea pigs.
Yeah. But if you go to West Virginia, don't believe all that stuff that you see in the movies and stuff. If you go to West Virginia, that's one of the best places that you have ever been in your life. Number one, it's pretty. Number two, the people are welcoming. They are
mountains.
Beautiful mountains, and they take care of them. Did you travel along a long bridge when you were going down there? It was a long bridge, but it was just clean. It was a clean bridge. It was very high.
There's one between Weirton and Steubenville, Ohio, that's pretty big.
Yeah. See? I mean,
there's one in Wheeling, too. A real big one in Wheeling.
This place is good. But as I said, y'all live toward the country part. You see all these poor people being left by the wayside, and they aren't being targeted. They aren't being talked to. But drugs can flow in there easy. Alcohol, drugs, prostitution, all that stuff flows in there.
Oh, they make their own alcohol.
Yeah, I was going to say, I grew up poor white trash in the trailer.
That's true, too.
Right? I grew up poor white trash in the trailer and can confirm it's full of drugs, alcohol. And yeah. And really, it's full of people without hope. And it's almost like what happened to the inner city black community. That's why you take a poor white dude from a trailer, put him in the inner city, like he's going to get along with those people because they're going to connect with each other on a different level where you feel forgotten and you feel like, how do I get out of this mess? And the government gives you just enough to survive, but never to thrive. And then they just dumb you down with some sort of chemical, be it drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. And, you know, that's why people just sit around getting drunk on their porch because they didn't know how to get out of it. So
I'll tell you what, I got lucky in my life lessons. Up until the time I was in third grade, I went to one of the best schools in Pittsburgh. My dad had a great job. We had a good house. And then his back went out and he lost his job. And we went from that all the way up here to public school in one summer. And I didn't know that there was two cultures. I was an elitist. There was one black kid in my school and his dad owned the black radio station in Pittsburgh.
Oh, nice.
You know, that when I went to the public school, then it was the first time I saw the poor white people you're talking about as I was becoming one.
Yep.
And black people, you know, half of the school. And it was really eye opening to me. It molded me. You know, the way I looked at something before and the way I look at it now, it's like, damn.
Yeah. Well, that's what's funny, too. So, like, you know, we have people on there that'll call us rednecks. We're like, no, let's correct it. I'm trailer trash. Like, if you grew up poor in the trailer park, you knew the difference between trailer trash and not. That's why I was never offended when somebody called us that, because trailer trash are the people that don't love America, that don't work hard, that don't do their stuff. You know, and so just the fact that you live in poor in a trailer park doesn't mean you're trailer trash. So call me that if you will. But
no, you got that wrong. I'm trailer.
Right. I'm trailer trash, baby. Shout out to the park drive.
Double wide.
No. We couldn't afford the double wide. Those were the big rollers, Hutch. I mowed his lawn when I was a kid because he paid me $5 to mow his lawn. He had that. I can pay somebody to mow my lawn money because he has a double wide.
$5 price.
Did y'all have group parties and stuff too?
So our trailer park was kind of horseshoe shaped. If it makes sense, where you'd go in and then you go on one side. So the north side of the horseshoe was the sketchy people. They were into like the hardcore drugs. And then the south side of the trailer park was kind of the more normal, just hardworking people. And we'd do cookouts and stuff like that. But it's funny because I actually drove through there last summer. And it was the same thing. You go to the first like 20 houses. And it's like, oh, these are poor people, but they maintain their stuff. Their cars are in working order. Everything's okay. Yeah. And then you go around to the other 20 trailers and you're like, oh yeah, let's see. None of these cars are functioning. The roof is leaking. The
windows. 75 Impala over there with no wheels on it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, rusted out. Yeah. Right. Oh man. No. Yeah. Cause I've seen some stuff on TV. Ozark had something like that too.
Yeah, they lived in a camper, boy. It wasn't even a mobile home. It was a camper. Oh,
man.
They were a step down. They were mobile. They were mobile.
But you know, as some chance, because we were never poor, but we weren't rich. And I would probably say at the time in the 70s, because mom and dad worked. So our Christmases were super grand. If you look at a little kid and you see, like, my dad, in around September or October, he would get the Sears book.
Catalog.
And he would ask us to choose 10 things that we would want. You know, we're looking at. Looking through the thing and stuff.
I loved looking at that, man.
Oh, me too. Oh my God. And so when Christmas came around, you know, you come down, you look at 10 things look like 100 things because my sister and me. So actually you're looking at 20 things, but if you're looking at a bike and this and that, everything looks bigger and wide. Okay. And then you always had your Christmas candy and
cookies
and the smell. Oh my gosh, sugar cookies. And, and then everybody sat around, mom went in to cook something, but the parades came on. I say all that to say this, we didn't grow up rich. We didn't grow up poor. We grew up middle class, excuse me, but we hit spots where we needed help, especially when my parents split. So we hit spots where we needed help. And I was, and then we had to move from the place. So not only did we move from a house, we moved to a townhome that was attached to another home. It's still on the corner. But across the street was the projects.
Yep.
And from across the projects, they had a steel fences. Looked like a jail over there. And I would always be afraid to go over there because that's not something that I grew up with. But in watching all this as I'm growing up, I'm like, man, I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't want to go through life like this. I've seen the struggles of my parents. I've seen the struggles of, you know, the lights have been off. The electric has been off. You're sitting around Christmas and the next thing you know, there's water that comes through the ceiling. I mean, it looks like a freaking fountain that's coming through the ceiling and you have to hurry up and move everything to the middle of the floor, you know, and my goodness. Well, I said all that to say this. I am a product of what I went through, but I also decided I didn't want to live like that. Okay. Which brings me to this. We've briefly talked about this on the show, but I think that at times that I have hurt my children in the way because I didn't want them to go through what I went through as a kid. So now I'm trying to fix it. So they don't have to go through it, but they aren't learning the life lesson that I did or that we went through to make us who we are right now. And sometimes maybe it's okay, you know, for them to go through the hardship so they can learn how to take, because we're not going to be here 2150. It is 2025, right? 2024.
2024.
In 2150, we ain't here. And as a matter of fact, the memory of us might even be gone because the photos might be taken off the walls by 2150. The only thing left is
the show,
right?
Even that, because I mean, with AI coming out, you know, you never know, but you want your children to go through. You want them to be battle tested. You do. You really want them to be battle tested because if not, they're going to be these kids out here at Harvard and Columbia. Yeah. And the next thing you know, their heads are going to be beat over the head. And you're going to be watching TV and you're going to get a phone call that your child is in the hospital because they were just standing out looking at what was going on. Right.
I mean, look at the difference between our experience and kids today. My grand, I used to walk to school from fourth grade. I walked to school, walk home for lunch, walk back to school, and then walk back at the end of the day. Mm. My grandson, sixth grade, still doesn't get to walk to school by himself. It's like I keep trying to tell his mom, you got to prepare him for the streets, man. You got to get him out there.
Right.
He's got to walk back and forth. He got to be able to defend himself out there.
Yep.
Well, and it's funny you say that about making kids soft. So I grew up on the good side of the trailer park and we were poor, but my dad My dad made it clear to me the government is not going to get you out of this mess.
Right.
And like taking help is not going to make you stronger. And there's time where, you know, like everybody, I'm sure we dad took help. But I tell the story when I came home with like free government cheese from the neighbors because they got a bunch. And he's like, what the hell are you doing there? And he's like, I'm like, yeah, they got this great cheese. They just give it to you. And he's like, we ain't taking nothing from the government. Like, if we want cheese, we'll go mow a lawn. We'll get some money. We'll go buy some cheese. I had to march that cheese back over and go, like, that's it. I can't have the cheese. But it's funny because people that broke out of that circle of poorness, right. You develop this, I'm going to figure it out, that these rich, elite college kids could never do. I mean, you're like, I remember sitting there going, like, when I first moved out on my own, I was like 17, 18 years old. And it's like, okay, I got to figure out how I'm going to buy food. And like, what, I got to get up. I got to go work my job. I better be good at my job and not just, you know, I went into sales and I'm like, I need to really refine my skills to be good at this or I can't pay for my food. Oh yeah. Government cheese. That was what was killer. It was so good. And I had to take it.
I never had any.
Oh really?
Government cheese.
Mm-mm. Oh bro, dude.
I heard bro, about it. But
I had to cut that thing with
like a hatchet.
Yeah, with a hatchet. I had to slice with a hatchet. And then it came out like an inch and a half thick. You ain't cutting it like a regular piece of cheese. You need a machine to cut it like that. But if you're doing it at home, you better make sure that you're pressing down on both hands. The other hand is nowhere near the bottom.
Yeah, keep your fingers up above the blade.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
it was like the size and shape of Velveeta, but it tasted like Deluxe American. Oh, man.
Yeah. It was a super size of Velveeta.
I mean, right.
The yep. thing almost looked like a baby when you were carrying it down the street because it's so long and it looked like a box, you know, type of thing. You get that thing in the house and you're like, okay, do I put it in the refrigerator or do I just leave it out? Because, right. you know, it take a whole lot of space.
Oh, man, but you make that into a cheese sandwich, though, Wade?
You try to, but
it was probably an experiment, man.
Yeah, you ain't melting the whole. Yeah, that's probably space cheese, but yep. You ain't melting the whole thing. That thing,
right?
That's probably why I don't eat cheese today like that. I get a cheeseburger and I look at the cheese. I take the cheese off.
Oh man,
yeah. But I guess the point of that story was, and we've all worked our way out of poverty to make a pretty good life for ourselves, and that mm-hmm. is because. Like, we didn't look like, oh, how's somebody else going to solve our problem?
Right.
It's what do we need to do to figure out how to make this work? And that's where poor people in America, they've, whatever your race is, they've divested you from the feeling that through hard work and figuring things out, you can get ahead. And you really can. You just got to figure it out.
And not only that, when I was growing up, people were embarrassed to be on welfare.
Right.
I was.
That's got to change.
Yep.
I know I was.
I got to say, the number of people that love government cheese in the chat is remarkable.
Really?
Yeah. There's like 8 people in there that are like, man, I love that stuff.
Wait a minute.
Kathy's claiming it's real government cheese. I don't know cheese about that, Kathy. I don't know. It sure was tasty.
Yeah, I don't know if it was real. That thing, that thing was large though, wasn't it?
Right.
Really large.
Great.
Do they make it anymore?
I don't know. But you know,
no, I want some.
My mom's no, you don't. My mom's friend.
I don't know what the shelf life is on that.
You know what? I'm glad. I mean, I was getting ready to talk about the shelf life because. I remember my mom's friend that came over and she was going to make some goulash, but she looked at the government cheese thing and it was molded on one side, you know, the side had been cut. So she just cut that piece off right. And she, yeah, just, I
other was like, side's still good.
I was like, I don't want that.
That's what my dad used to do that. He'd do that with cheese, with bread. Oh. He just cut the little bit off and keep on eating. I'm like, dude, I saw that mold. I can't eat that. It was green and it was nasty and I'm not eating.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh man. And you know, and so, but she did make the goulash. She did make it. And here I am tasting it. And even though she cut the mold after. I went, this tastes moldy. even though it didn't have any mold on it, it has planted
in your brain.
It has a tang on it. Yeah. It's like
nasty. It's like if you get a bug in your drink, it's like, no, dump that out. I don't want to pour that. You infected it.
Well, and you know, and then if you didn't seal it real good, you'd get that dried out chunk.
Turn colors
and turn into a
Velveeta had that.
Velveeta does the same thing.
Yeah, but
well, it used to anyway.
Right. Now you can leave it out for 3 years. And
that's another thing too. We've talked about this on the show too. Let me also add this about cereal. My father used to get cereal, a couple boxes of different cereal. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was the one that did it, but maybe I was, and I don't remember. But somebody kept opening up each of the boxes.
I think that happened at everybody's house.
Every house, yeah.
I think it happened at everybody's house, yeah.
So my dad would buy a new cereal and said, don't touch the new boxes until y'all eat the old stuff. But, okay, so then nobody really touched the old stuff. So then he would take all the boxes and mesh them all into it. He would raise and brand into the Fruit Loops and Phoenix. It's like, eat this first, and then you can eat that up there.
Go to get some milk, and there's this much left in the carton because Wayne put it back like that.
That happens in my house.
My dad used to mess some food up, boy. He tried to make some gourmet SpaghettiOs or something. He'd add stuff to it. It's like, no, Dad, don't put that in there. No lettuce in my SpaghettiOs.
Oh. Well, you know, when you're poor, you just made food stretch. Like Juanita, her mom also kept the moldy bread. She's a survivor like me. Only that first half is bad. You can eat that second half. Wait till the apocalypse.
Yeah, they really did mess with the food, though. Remember growing up?
They did.
Remember growing up when you used to get potato chips like Lay's and they'd have green on them on some of them?
Oh, yeah.
It's like this stuff isn't even potatoes anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, some people are like, yeah, you know, they give us the prescription medication that keeps people sick and stuff. When you go back and, you know, we briefly hit on the food a while ago, how when people ate things back during the day, it didn't make us fat. It did not. I mean, seriously, y'all, the food back then did not make us fat. Now, yes, kids were more active and they played outside and stuff. Understand that. But kids today come out of the womb fat type of stuff, you know, and genetic. That Similac and stuff like that, that, you know, that stuff that they add in there and all those preservatives and all that man-made ingredients and stuff that goes into that. All that stuff is going into the woman's body and stuff. And these kids come out. How big was he? Oh, he was 13 pounds. Oh, he was a big baby. You know? Oh, well. Kathy's laughing.
Yeah, I got to say, we have the fattest poor people in the history of mankind. Like, if you look at the number of poor people we have that have obesity, like, that's usually where you see poor people is they're emancipated or super skinny and whatnot.
I got it, but I do have to say this, because I know there's some people, not y'all, I know there's some people on our side in influencer positions that talk down to big people. They really do. They talk down to them. And there are certain conditions where people go through depression based on marriages, based on divorces.
What Jason said about the hope. When you lose hope, who cares about yourself?
Right. Right. And
that's exactly what it is.
Talking down to people about how fat they are and stuff, that's not helping to me. Now, I understand there are people out there that just eat till they get tired. I understand. I've seen them before. Sitting, pulling up a chair, not at a table, but at the buffet part. You know, they're sitting up there waiting, cleaning out the steak tray and waiting for some more steak to show up.
Crab legs.
Don't have problems, okay? But there are people, and I wouldn't say they're mental issues, but there are people out here that have gone through things that have basically hurt their lives, hurt their, I mean, they might even be alone. But then there's a flip side to that too, because then there are people that might have lost everybody and then they don't want to eat. They're starving to death.
I think I noticed it during somebody was talking about this, about how it was the hopeless mentality that does this. And I remember during Hurricane Katrina, they showed one of the most poorest districts in the country. I think it was the Ninth Ward or wherever, when they were trying to evacuate from this flood. And you looked at so many people that were obese coming from there. It's like these people have lost hope. They don't, I mean, it's sad. It really is. I mean, you're looking at these people going, wow, that doesn't look like a representative of this country. I mean, this is,
you know, it's in bad shape. I think the two things that have really contributed is one, people who have lost faith, you know, like you, at some degree, you've got to believe there's a God and a higher power that wants something good for you. And if somebody's depressed, go get involved in your church, go or join a group in your church. Like, thank me later. But the second thing is people need to feel that they're in control of their destiny and that they can work their way out of it. And that's why not teaching kids skills that they can actually go do something. I mentioned I had the sprinkler guy out last week, and I was talking to this young kid, and he's going to be buying the business that he's working at. And he's in his early 20s. And he's like, I worked with this guy, and he convinced me I could do it and I could run the business. Cause I'm like, man, I got to say, you did awesome. You showed up early. You made sure everything was right. Like, excellent job. And I mean, just chatting with him, he's like, yeah, it's funny. You know, until I started working for this old sprinkler dude, I never thought about running my own business and I never thought I could. And like, you get into it and you realize I can do anything. You know what I mean? And, but we don't teach our kids that. We teach them like somebody else have to solve your problems instead of you
teaching them to be slaves.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And like I talked about me when I became a salesperson, like at 18, 19, I'm like, okay, I can make enough money to do something with this. And I was paying for school. I read books about being a good salesperson. I talked to all the good salespeople. Okay, how does this work? What do I do? And I learned a skill set so that I could be an effective salesperson. And so I learned how to sell stuff. And then by learning that skill, it was great because you just determine how much money you made based on what you sold. Okay. And you know, that entrepreneurial spirit that kids have, they don't have it anymore because we've thought like, hey, if you can't figure this out, and the kid that's going to buy the sprinkler business, like he was so lucky, he just randomly got a job with the old dude who's getting ready to retire in a year or two and wants him to buy the business.
I'll tell you, these kids haven't been exposed to things either. I mean, my son, he's in his 30s. And he comes over to the house one day, and I'm building up my radio station.
Right.
And there's a shortwave radio sitting there. And he said, what's that, Dad? I was like, where do I start? I mean, if you don't know what that is, it's a radio.
Yep.
They don't have radios anymore.
No. No, not only that, you know, I get laughed at all the time when I start talking about maps, you know, maps.
Remember, it used to be the gas station.
At the gas station, you drive by somebody at the gas station, and they have to map out on the hood with their foot up on the.
I still have a drawer full of maps.
Foot up on the bender.
I love maps.
Maps will get you in trouble though. I had a map of Washington D.C.
It was not updated. Yeah,
and I'm looking at this map, and it's like, okay, I could go down this interstate, but I could cut right down this J Street or this M Street, and it's a straight shot to the Capitol. Lord have mercy. Roll up the windows.
Right.
Oh, man. Indoor furniture outside. People sitting on it, drinking with the brown paper bags. Payday loans. Liquor store. I'm like, get me out of here. It was long, too.
Look,
it was long. It was huge.
I thought that Wi-Fi was the best thing going for GPS. Man, you get in DC, that Wi-Fi is all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you find yourself at a dead end where they're doing construction and is not even on the thing. The GPS is telling you keep straight. And you're like, I can't. There's these guard things up here. I can't, you know, and then you turn around. You know, it's like, wow.
See, my favorite era of navigation was the MapQuest era. And we all lived through that, where you go online, you'd print your map out, and you still had maps in your glove box. And then you're following that route, and you're looking. And then that one dang time, you took the wrong exit, and you were off your MapQuest. And you're like, oh, my God, how do I get back? Yep. I don't even know where I am.
Yep. MapQuest.
I'll tell you something about where I live that's specific to Pittsburgh. It's a real, they built this city in mountains. You know, you heard about the three rivers. There's mountains all around them. So one of the things they did was all the flat land near the rivers was dedicated to steel mills and industry. The immigrants that came in had to live up on the hills. Oh. They call them the slopes. Well, so what they did was a million years ago, they built 300 sets of what's called city steps. So you could go from up here down 1,000 steps to down here to go to work. And then they had inclines to bring you back and stuff.
I've seen
but
those.
But the bad part about it is the freaking city steps have street names. Ah. So I'm in the Army doing funeral duty, and I'm trying to find this funeral home, and I'm going up Jones Street, and all of a sudden Jones Street is a set of steps.
Right.
They say, oh, what do I do now?
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah, I remember seeing that red thing that goes up the side of the mountain when I was in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
It's like one train car. It's pulled by a cable.
That thing looks like it's going up to heaven.
It does.
How high that is going up there.
You got to go at night. At night.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet.
So you can see the city lights. It's pretty nice.
There's nothing like Pittsburgh at night, boy. I won't go into it again, but there's nothing like that city at night. I mean, Baltimore ain't no slouch either, but Pittsburgh is coup de grace at night, you know.
I still don't go down there.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been there in years, so. Yeah.
It's 2 miles away.
From you?
Yeah.
Really?
Just not safe.
I mean, it's not, I'm not interested, man. I'm not interested in panhandlers and paying $5 for 5 minutes to park. It's just too much of a money trap, and there's no cops down there anymore. You know, there used to be, it used to be manageable because you had a police force that understood the importance of infantry, of people walking around, walking the beat for 100-some years, and the unions got in there and canceled that Christmas.
Right.
They're all in cars now or bicycles.
Hmm.
But they used to cover that area, you know, and they'd move panhandlers along and stuff.
We've talked about that on the show, and it was funny after you had brought that up. I had never really considered that loss of that beat cop. But now, as you know, more and more often I see people talking about like where policing really went wrong was when they got rid of the beat cop.
And I'm
like,
sure, oh, right.
I said that.
It's true. I used to work in a pizza shop. My boss told me, whatever Jerry and those guys want, you give it to them. They don't pay.
Right.
You knew their names, but they knew how to get to the police at the pizza shop if there was a problem.
Right. Which is why you gave them pizza.
You know?
Pizza and coffee. All right. With that said, we are getting ready to roll up out of here. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to what we do on a weekly basis. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's hump day. So we'll be back tomorrow. The whatchacallit started. The Supreme Court for the immunity.
There's been a lot of interesting cases.
Right?
Yeah.
There was something that came down yesterday. There was something that I read that said, conservatives don't want to talk about Carrie Lake loss in the Supreme Court. We did yesterday. We kind of brought it up. But yeah.
I wonder what happened.
Yeah, they didn't even offer an opinion, which is
they weird. Didn't even offer an
opinion. It had to be something had to be wrong with the lawyers for that for 9-0. Either that or we're doomed.
And no opinion. That's big, isn't it?
Yeah, even if they thought her case was crap, they would have said that.
It's something.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, well, so we're giving hit final thoughts. Yeah, I got to change things around a little bit. I looked at ABC News and I was like, I like.
I saw Wayne up at midnight last night and I'm like, man, we're getting new graphics today.
Was that up? Yeah. I was creating memes, but then I went to sleep right after that, though. I was like, you know, I'm tired. But so we'll be back tomorrow. Hutch and J Rob and myself. J Rob gives some final thoughts, and then Hutch Bailey Jr. gives some final thoughts, and then we're out.
All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. Lots of news this week. We'll get into it all tomorrow. My advice for you tonight, go take a walk. Wife and I have started taking the dog to the dog park, doing a couple laps every evening. It just feels so good to unplug, be out in nature a little bit. We love our dogs, so hanging out with them is great. So that's my advice to everybody. Go take a walk tonight. You'll thank me later.
There you go. I don't know what's going on with these congressmen in the GOP and their using of Christianity to further their goals. GOP Rep Carl predicts backlash from Christian community for members who turn against Speaker Johnson. And what that means is against Ukraine aid. You know, it's beyond me that you could try to label that murder as Christian. I'm sorry. I kind of figured
that they would do that. I didn't know. I kind of figured that they were going to do that because again, the way that I saw it, well, we'll talk about it.
Remember, Johnson canceled religion.
Right.
Zelensky canceled Christianity in really? Ukraine. And the Christian community is going to back it out of here.
Yeah. Yep. All right. God bless.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.